Okay, tonight is Monday night, February the 4th, or Hoftet Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir, Masechah Sukkah. We are up to Daf Chof Hei Omud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, let's start a new topic tonight. New Mishnah, new topic. Daf Chof Hei Omud Aleph. Most interesting sukkah. Nothing to do with walls and, funny walls and strange walls. And says the Mishnah. Shluchei mitzvah p'turim min asukkah. This line of the Mishnah is the source of a well-known principle, osei v'mitzvah p'turim min amitzvah. And that's what we're going to analyze tonight. The Machloikas are showing him on the parameters of this particular principle. Shluchei mitzvah, somebody who is on the way to perform a mitzvah, is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Cholin umisham shehen, somebody who is ill, and it doesn't mean obviously deathly ill, because I wouldn't need a Mishnah to tell me if he's deathly ill that he's exempt from sukkah, but somebody who is ill, and anybody attending to the chola is patur min asukkah. Statement number 3, ochlin v'shosin ara'i chutz l'sukkah. You are permitted to eat and drink as long as it's not considered a keva, a meal, out of the sukkah. So the Gemara will later define what constitutes ara'i, not a temporary or snack. The Gemara will later define that. So as I said, we're going to focus this evening primarily on Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So we'll start off with Rashi, because he is the point of departure for everybody to attack. Says Rashi, Shluchei mitzvah. Holchei baderech mitzvah. Somebody is going on the road in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Kigoy, lilmot Torah. Somebody's going to a yeshiva, right? So he's traveling to a yeshiva to learn Torah. Ulahakbil pnei rabbi. He's going to be mekabel his rebbe. There is a special mitzvah on Yom Tov, lekabel pnei rabbi, to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov, special mitzvah. And the third example, lifdot shvuyim, if you're going to redeem a captive. These three illustrations happen to require some degree of travel. So the Mishnah's chidush is, not only when you are actually you're actually involved in the mitzvah itself, you're at your Rebbe's house, are you putter from sukkah? Not only while you are engaged in the transaction with the captor are you engaged, but even travel along the way is also an exemption. And of course, I don't mention Talmud Torah, because that's going to create a problem, because the tour of Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, does not apply to Talmud Torah. So if I am already in the yeshiva learning, and I'm sitting away steiging in the Mir or in Lakewood, that doesn't necessarily grant me an exemption for sukkah, so that's going to be a separate issue, why this particular example listed amongst the examples in the Mishnah of Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, when the halicha is different than the actual observance of the mitzvah itself. I can understand why the Mishnah has a chidush to tell me that it's not only the kiyum ha-mitzvah itself, which is in the category of Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, but it's even the going to that mitzvah is considered part of the mitzvah. But it's a little difficult to see that if I am engaged in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I am not going to be included in Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Nobody who is sitting and learning can say, I don't have to do any mitzvahs. Because that would lead to what? to a person never, you know, people, Talmidei Chachamim, will be exempt from all mitzvahs. So as we will read the Rambam at a later time, the Rambam does not extend Oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah to Talmud Torah. So why should traveling to the Mir be an exemption if learning in the Mir is not an exemption? It's a little difficult why that happens to be listed as this particular example. But nonetheless, those are the three examples which Rashi furnishes. And thus far, Rashi doesn't make any trouble, but the next Rashi does. Pturin min ha-sukkah afilu b'sha'as chaniyasan. Very famous Rashi. Here is my illustration. Let's assume yesterday was Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Okay? Yesterday is Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I am now traveling, yesterday Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and I'm going to Chicago to be Poydeh Shavui. Somebody was taken captive. So last night, I'm traveling, and I stopped off at night at Hotel 6, at Motel 6, where they left the light on for me. So I'm going to be there for the night. Very nice. I take off my shoes. I put my feet up, prop my feet up. I was not watching ESPN last night. I was watching Channel 5. I can have a hero sandwich, according to Rashi, and I don't have to go into the sukkah. I don't have to go into the sukkah. Why? Because I'm on my way to Chicago to do a mitzvah pidyon shvuyah. So Rashi claims that Oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah is not only while I am traveling, so when I'm eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch, then I can understand I don't have to start looking for a sukkah. That everyone agrees. But Rashi claims not only under those circumstances, but even at night, when I'm safely tucked away in a motel, I don't have to worry about the mitzvah sukkah. Even if there's a sukkah 5 minutes away, there's a Lubavitch, you know, shul. It's always a Lubavitch someplace. Lubavitch with a sukkah, you know, 5 minutes away. I don't have to make the effort. I can sit and eat my hero sandwich, watch the game uninterrupted.
You still haven't reached your destination.
That's correct. I have yet to fulfill my mitzvah. That's Rashi Shita. Okay? So now let's look at Tosfos. Tosfos will serve as the spokesperson to be the attack against Rashi, and we'll see the various offshoots of Tosfos' position. Tosfos b'dibur ha-matzav shluchei mitzvah. These are very famous shitot, very famous Tosfos, so let's read it inside. So initially, Tosfos quotes Rashi, holchei b'dvar mitzvah k'doin l'umot Torah o lahakul p'nei rabbi o lifno shvuyim p'turim in asukah v'afilu b'shas chaniyason tach pirish b'kudlis. The chayim mashma du Gemara, and in effect, the Gemara is really that which triggered Rashi's opinion. Later on, a block later on Daf Chavav, the Gemara uses the expression and says, "Dekaomar holche lidvar mitzvah pturim in hasukah bein bayoyim bein balayla." Those going to perform a mitzvah are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah during the day as well as at night. Umashma afal pi she'en holchen ela bayoyim. And it appears that the chidush of this Gemara is that even though you were traveling only during the day, it was obviously not the common practice to travel at night, nonetheless, you would be exempt from sukkah at night. Di'i azli di'yamama ubilayla. Because if you were traveling when? Daytime and at night. Afilu lidvar harashus nami patiri kidikani vabraisa. Then, there is an exemption from sukkah if you are actually on the road. There is a special exemption on the road. What? That while you're traveling, you don't have to what? Worry about a sukkah? So it can't mean that in this case, which Rashi furnishes, that you were actually traveling at night. Because if you were traveling at night, you didn't need the illustration that you were traveling to what? For a dvar mitzvah, pidyon shvuyah. Even if I was traveling just to visit my cousin, or for business for that matter, once you are on the road, as we will see, you are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Therefore, Tosfos concedes that this particular Gemara might serve as proof for Rashi. Might serve as proof for Rashi. The ode, Uvda de Rav Chista the Rabba Barafuna, Degano Arakta de Sura. Also, there is another story concerning Rav Chista and Rav Barafuna, who slept in the capital of Sura. Says Tosfos, there were plenty of sukkahs in Sura. Tons of sukkahs in Sura. So why don't they just go down, you know, maybe they were traveling to Pupadis or something, to another town, or Naharda. Why don't they just go? Plenty of sukkahs available, and nonetheless, they did not go when they slept. At night, they did not go to eat in the sukkah. V'tema asks Tosfos, says Bamiravon, I am perplexed. Why? Im yecholim l'kayim shnehem amai pturin. Tosfos now raises the following question. Why would osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah apply if in theory you can fulfill both of them? You can fulfill both of them. So, why should I be pater? De'atu Adam sheyeshlo tzitzis bebigdo. If a person is wearing tzitzis, utfilin berosho, and he has tfilin on his head, mi mifter bekach b'shar mitzvos, would you say that a person is exempt from other mitzvos because he's being Isaac the mitzvah? Of course not. The mere fact that I'm wearing a pair of tzitzis doesn't preclude me from engaging in another mitzvah. Why? Because it's Efshe L'Kayim Shneyim. You can do both. So I can concede to Rashi that what? That if I'm traveling during the day and there is no sukkah exactly on my route, so I can understand that if I'm going to have to get off the highway for 5 minutes and not then look for a sukkah, then I can understand why I'm exempt. Because that would mean I will reach my destination of Pidyon Shluyim 5 minutes later. And that's Oisik B'mitzvah. I don't have to because I'm being Oisik B'mitzvah at this particular minute. But if I'm sitting in Motel 6 watching the Super Bowl, why is that E.F. Shalakayim Shneim? I am not moving one step closer to what? To my destination of getting to Pidyon Shluyim. Or to be Mekabel my Rebbe. Or to wind up in the mirror. I'm not getting any closer. So why should I be exempt simply because I'm in the midst of performing a mitzvah? So then asks Tosfos, by virtue of the fact that men are wearing tzitzis, they should not have to do any other mitzvah in the world. Because they're Isaac the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. Second question. Ubeperek ein bein hamudar. In Masechus Nedarim, just learned it a couple of days ago in Daf Yomi, Gavi Hamudar Hana'a, that if somebody goes ahead and prohibits Hana'a from somebody else, I have a right to say, I don't want to derive any benefit from you. I can also say, I don't want you to derive any benefit from me. But the case here is, Zuckerman, I don't want to derive any benefit from you. Or, you don't want to derive any benefit. Very nice. Question is, so let's assume the case is, I don't want you to derive any benefit from me. Okay? Now I find something that you lost. You lost your watch. I recognize it. I pick it up. Can I return your watch to you? Can I be Maxi or Aveda? Would that be in violation of what? Of my neder or not? So the answer that the Gemara gives is machzor le'avodaso. He can what? Be machzor the aveda. He can be machzor the aveda. He can be. Now, because simply the performance of a mitzvah itself does not constitute a benefit. When you are mekayim a mitzvah, that is not considered in violation of the neder. But here, there's an ancillary benefit. Here, there's an ancillary benefit. What is that benefit? Afalpi de mahanale prut of Rav Yosef. The halacha is that, it's a famous case of prut de Rav Yosef, that if I am in the midst of doing a mitzvah, such as Hashavas Aveda, and now a shnara comes along, and is, you know, would like to, you know, stops me on the road, you know, he gives me his sad story, do I have to stop and give him a dollar? The answer is I don't have to stop and give him a dollar. So as I am being mitayim the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, I'm making a dollar. Why am I making a dollar? I don't have to what? Give him, I'm putter from Pluto de Rabbi Yosef. I don't have to give it. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that I am permitted to return the Aveda because Pluto de Rabbi Yosef lo shchicha. What does that mean, lo shchicha? How frequently are we going to assume that what's going to happen, that as I'm being master the Aveda, just then, a shnara comes and is just asking. Okay, if you're in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh, by the Kotel, you wouldn't ask this gosh. Then you would say shchicha. But in most places, it's not that shchia. Asks Tosfos. The e kol zman of sha'aveda bebeso niftar milaysav rifta la'ani. If, as long as I have the Aveda in my house, right? I am planning to return your watch to you, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. But I have this mitzvah saddled upon me. So, this could take days until I reach you. So you mean to tell me that within a matter of days, it's not shchiyah, that somebody is not going to stop me in the street in a matter of days and say, can I please have something to eat? And I'm exempt from giving it to him. So if Rashi is correct, that not only is Isaac for mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, true, when you are Osek, when you're on the road, but even when you're sitting in your Hotel 6, watching the Super Bowl, and you're exempt from the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah, because you're still considered Osek. Well, if you're considered Osek in that regard, you should be considered Osek from the minute you find somebody's Aveda, and you make plans to what? To return it to him. During that rather long span of time, it is impossible to assume that there would be no shnara who's about to ask you for some money. Why does the Gemara consider it lo shchicha and allows you to violate the Easter Neder because you won't be making a nickel? You'll be saving quite a bit. Apparently. Elo vadai, says Tosfos, lo niftar ela bishah shu osek ba. The only time that the rule of Isaac b'mitzvah, patam and amitzvah applies is while you are being involved in doing the mitzvah. Kidoy, talis shel aveda v'shotcha litzorcha. You have a talis which was lost, and now sometimes it gets a little dusty and mold. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to shake it out a little. So the minute while you're shaking it out, and now comes across another mitzvah, you don't have to do that on a mitzvah. But if the talis is just sitting in your house, waiting for you to fulfill the mitzvah, obviously Isaac the mitzvah doesn't apply. O behema, that if you have an animal that was lost, shinosem lo mizonos, that at that particular moment, you decided to what? To feed the animal, which is your obligation. You can then collect the money from the owner, but you have an obligation to feed him. So therefore, the Gemara says very well. How long does it take to feed an animal? 10 minutes. How long does it take to shake out a talus of a garment? 5 seconds. So it's lo shchicha that exactly at those 5 seconds, who's going to be knocking on your door? The ani. That's lo shchiyah. Since it's lo shchiyah, the Gemara Nedarim says that I can return the lost object Because all I'm doing is what? Is fulfilling a mitzvah, and on the off chance that I'll be saving a dollar from tzedakah, that's not considered a reason to deny me the right to return the item. It will not violate the nether, because that's loy shriach. But that's only because it's loy shriach, because I grant him the exemption to the dollar when he's being isik b'mitzvah. But that's only during the few minutes when he's involved in it. Shebaos deloy shriach, shebaoso sha'a yavi ani lishol mimenu. That it's a little unusual that at that precise moment an ani will come. So therefore, Tosfos claims that isik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah does not apply the way Rashi understands it. That you would be patur even be'eis chaniyasan. So when you stop off in your hotel, you're traveling to Chicago to go pay the shvuyin, and you stop off at a hotel, under those circumstances, says Tosfos, you are chayiv to eat in the sukkah at night, because at that particular moment, you are not being isik b'mitzvah. Plus, Tosfos added two things. That's not the only thing. Tosfos says, even if you are isik b'mitzvah, it's only where it's iyesh l'kayim shneim, where you cannot do both. Because that was Tosfos' first argument. Why should you not do something if it's iyesh l'kayim shneim? So Tosfos now posits that if it is possible to do both mitzvos, and under those circumstances, the whole rule of isik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, doesn't apply. So let's take a case of Hainach Pavane Rabbi, okay? You're going to go greet your Rebbe during Chol HaMoed. Very nice, as the mitzvah is. Hey, there's 3 days of Chol HaMoed. So let's assume along the way I encounter another mitzvah to go to a Levi. So I'll stop off for a couple of hours to go to the Levi. What's the problem? I'll get to the Rebbe a day later. Doesn't mean that I blew the opportunity to be Mekayim the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, I don't have to go to the Levaya. Why? Because I'm being isik b'mitzvah. Even as I'm traveling, Tosfos argues on Rashi on two counts. Count number one, that if you're sitting in the hotel and resting, that certainly doesn't qualify for isik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Point number two, even if I'm traveling, I have to make an assessment as to whether or not this mitzvah precludes me from observing another mitzvah. And if it's efshar l'kayim shneim, under those circumstances, isik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, does not apply, and you are obligated to go ahead and do both mitzvahs. To do both mitzvahs? There is a compromise shita, and that's the Ran shita. The Ran says that I will agree with Tosfos on one point, and I will disagree with Tosfos on another point. Namely, that I agree with Tosfos in his critique of Rashi, that if you are not doing anything at the moment, you are exempt, that you are chayif in the mitzvah. So as I am traveling to Chicago, I wind up in Motel 6, I'm obligated to search for a sukkah because I'm not doing a mitzvah at this particular time. That, the Ran says, I fully concur with Tosfos. However, if I am actually being mishasek, even if I can accomplish my mitzvah and yet go to what? To the other mitzvah, I can still go to the Levaya and not blow my opportunity of being Mekabel Panei Rabbi. Under those circumstances, I am still exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah under those circumstances. I'm exempt from going to where? To the Levaya. Why? Because according to the Ran, the hit askut itself generates the ptur. The hit askut per se generates the ptur. According to Tosfos, the hit askut alone is not sufficient. What tells me that I am obligated, I'm exempt from another mitzvah? The fact that I can only be mekayim this mitzvah. The kiyum ha-mitzvah of mitzvah number one exempts me from performing mitzvah number two. The kiyum ha-mitzvah of mitzvah number one and the impossibility of doing mitzvah number two exempts me from it. But if, according to Tosfos, simply being osek b'mitzvah is not enough. That's not enough, according to Tosfos, to grant you an exemption. According to the Ran, hit askut automatically is poter. So as long as I am traveling towards my objective of my mitzvah, at that moment I'm being misasek. If I'm being misasek, I don't have to worry about another mitzvah. And the Ran brings his proof from what? From the illustrations that Tosfos himself gives. Take, for example, when did Tosfos come along and say that I don't have to worry about Truta de Rabbi Yosef? When don't I have to answer the door for the army? When I'm doing what? I'm shaking out my garment. Says the Ran. You mean to tell me in such a case, I couldn't do both? You can put the rug down for 5 seconds, the garment down for 2 seconds, answer the door, and do what? And give the army, and then go back. It's actually kind of shenanigans. Why did the Gemara grant you an exemption according to Tosfos? The Ran plays it, spits it back into Tosfos' face. If you, Tosfos, are of the opinion that Eksha L'Kayin Shneim, you're not exempt, that's the only time that you are up, that you're exempt based on Isaac for Mitzvah, is if stopping the first Mitzvah would preclude you from observing the second Mitzvah. So why did the Gemara Midarim allow you to go ahead and be exempt while, like the way Tosfos says, you're shaking out the garment or you're feeding the animal? Tell Mr. Hamar, the shtickle donkey, I'm coming back in 2 seconds. I'm just answering the door. I'm giving some food to a human being. Must be that what is the exemption? The hit askut itself. So the minute I am feeding the animal and fulfilling thereby the mitzvah of Hashavat HaVeda, because that's part of my responsibility to feed an animal, so at that precise moment, I'm indeed exempt from doing any other mitzvah. I don't have to go to Levi, I don't have to give the stuff. Okay, I said right at the beginning, I'm going to examine Talmud Torah separately. I'm also, that's why I'm raising, why did Rashi, and Tosfos mimicking Rashi, why did he throw in the illustration of Talmud Torah? We'll talk about Talmud Torah, okay?
He still has gradations on the Askut, because he's not going to say with so many sisters.
Because you're not being misasek, according to Tosfos, nor according to the Ran. You're not being misasek. What does misasek mean?
It's fine.
It's perfect while you're a chayiv to do mitzvahs. Both according to Tosfos and according to the Ran. The mere fact that you're wearing tzitzis doesn't grant you an exemption.
It's not considered osek b'mitzvah.
That's correct. You're being the kind of a mitzvah, but you're not osek b'mitzvah.
How do you define osek?
Osek means to be involved in an activity which seems to occupy your time, your mind, so on and so forth. You're involved, his askus translated literally. So neither according to the Ran nor according to Tosfos will you be granted an exemption by virtue of the fact that what? That I'm wearing scissors. Because I'm being the kind of a mitzvah, but I'm not being Isaac the mitzvah. You need hit askut. And that's not called hit askut.
What is Rashi using to base his opinion on?
That's his opinion. He reads the Mishnah. Shluchei mitzvah, p'torim en asukah. Rashi would argue that if what? That if the person who is traveling to do this mitzvah is obligated, the Gemara should have said, Hani, Mili, Bayoyim, Abu Balar, Lachayim, as soon as he stops, that's what Rashi would argue. Since the Mishnah did not qualify and just said, Shluchei Mitzvah, as long as you are a Shliach Mitzvah, I'm fine.
They make it literally, not if you're in your house waiting to return the item, no matter why.
According to who?
Rashi.
You're right. I don't think that's correct. Rashi is not going to fall into that trap and say, I would have agreed that if you're sitting here waiting or wearing talis and tefillin, Rashi wouldn't say something so silly either. But at least you're being osek, but the problem is you took a break from your hit askut for 5 minutes.
I mean, you can make the argument just like you know, the doctors who are traveling back, you know, from the hospital.
Right.
Make it simple for this guy to travel to Chicago.
That's a different issue. So we won't be the kind of mitzvah. We don't find that concern. We find that concern by isurei derabbanan. Usually we find it by isurei derabbanan, the principle of heitiru sofan mishum tchilasa. Right, they allow you to cross the river on Yom Kippur to come home to encourage you. Right. But we don't find that principle to release you of a kiyum mitzvah. It's an interesting suggestion. It's an interesting light that maybe Rashi understood that if we're not going to grant you that exemption, you're not going to want to what? Be the kind of mitzvah, because it's a pain in the neck going in the middle of the road to look for a Lubavitch sukkah someplace in some favor from the town. Okay, maybe that's what Rashi is in mind. That would be an interesting analogy.
What's the best case to separate process and the line?
Tosis and the run?
That
I am actually feeding the cow, okay, and the guy is knocking on the door.
So,
going to Tosis and some kind. Why am I kind? No, but it's actually kind of shame.
I think actually kind of shame in Tosis for vernacular is to contrast it with Osei. In other words, if you guys have actual kind of shame, is when you're being weird, pulling up your head, and you're very sensitive. It's not saying that that's a test criteria. It's in contrast to being Osei.
I'm not saying that you identify the wrong crisis. But everybody else saw that Tosis and the Ran are arguing, can you be exempt based on Osei simply based on the fact that I'm being Osei at this particular time? And it's Eshul Kaim Shneim.
Is there a difference between active and passive? Both wearing tefillin, you're wearing tzitzit,
it's
the passive
act. Right. It's a kiyum mitzvah, but it's not being Osei. So here I gave an illustration where I'm being Osei. I'm feeding the cow. And nonetheless, I'm still actually kind of shame. I can say, Mr. Cow, wait a minute, I'm coming right back. I'm just going to give you stuff.
And the fact that the post doesn't follow Ron's pushback, it seems to be agreed to it. And it is obvious you could put the cow for 5 minutes and go to the door. Post doesn't suggest that he did it. Time element.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, that you're not playing as much emphasis on the Yechol Mekayim. You're saying the Tosis is using that just as a way to attack Rashi.
Right, and to contrast Osei versus
perhaps.
Osei.
Okay, perhaps. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Perhaps. Now, but you should ask a question on if what I'm suggesting in Tosis is correct. How would the Mishnah be difficult to understand according to Tosfos? What does the Mishnah say? How does the Mishnah itself seem, if this is what Tosfos suggests, how does this somewhat differ? If the definition according to Tosfos is that the Kiyum HaMitzvah of what? Of Mitzvah A is the poter for me observing in Mitzvah 2, the key of my mitzvah. What then is, what's difficult to understand? Exactly. Correct. According to Tosfos, that it's the key of my mitzvah, which is the fact that if I have to observe Mitzvah A, says that I don't do Mitzvah B, you know, how does suddenly shluchei mitzvah suddenly become an exemption? Why should it become an exemption? I'm not doing any mitzvah yet. I'm not doing the hisach. I'm not being oisik the mitzvah at that particular moment. So I just want to tell you what the Rav suggested. I don't quite hear what he said, but this is what he suggested. He said that the reason why Rashi and Tosfos, he asked another question. Why did they give these three illustrations and these three illustrations only? You mean to tell me one illustration wasn't enough? Why did Rashi and Tosfos have to give three illustrations? No, the Mishnah doesn't give any illustration. Rashi and Tosfos have given the three illustrations. What did I do? That I went to be Mekabel my Rebbe, I went to be Toitish Pidyon Shvuyin, and I went to, I was going to learn. Why these three examples?
So I could have given
an example that I'm going to buy a pair of scissors. I'm going to buy a pair of tefillin. So the Rav suggested, because in these three mitzvot,
the walking itself,
correct? That's what he's going to suggest. That in these three cases, the halicha itself is part of the mitzvah. It's not called a hachana
mitzvah.
Good. And here is the test case. Okay? I'm going to buy a pair of silk. I'm going to buy a pair. Am I going to do a mitzvah? I'm going to buy a pair. He's coming by mitzvah this morning. He doesn't have silk. Would you say I'm going to do? Yeah. But the going under no circumstance is considered a mitzvah. What is that considered? A hachana for a mitzvah.
Right.
A hachana for a mitzvah. Would anybody ever say that Isaac for mitzvah, put them in a mitzvah, applies to a hachana of a mitzvah? I'm baking masks. Trust me, Rabbi, there's no mitzvah to bake masks. The mitzvah is to eat a tzedayis of matzah, pesach, and pesach. No mitzvah to bake matzahs. So if I'm in the middle of baking matzahs, does that mean it's Isaac for mitzvah, part of the mitzvah? I'm not going to buy it, I'm not going to go, you know, any other mitzvah. And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So why these three examples? Because the going itself, the halicha, is part and parcel of the mitzvah. So here's how the Rav suggested it. That when you're, what is the definition of the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah of Mrs. Heulech, the name Robert? That when I'm going, I should go greet what? My Rebbe. So if I am going, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to be the Kabbalah right around. I'm going. That's the way to be the Kabbalah, to get there. That's just the Hecha Tinsa. That's the definition of the mitzvah. Same thing, Pidyon Shvuyim is a little difficult to understand, you know. I would have said that Pidyon Shvuyim is the act of change. So here the Rav said that Pidyon Shvuyim is really a license to expand it to all mitzvahs of Gemilas Chesed. All mitzvahs of Gemilas Chesed, you are a Gemil Chesed as what? As you are on the way to do the mitzvah as well. You know, when you travel to the hospital and you are doing an act of Gemilas Chassadim, no one ever said that you're going to the site that that's considered what? Buying tefillin. No one ever said that. With Talmud Torah, the Rav quoted a Rambam, where the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchas Talmud Torah splits his Perek into two parts. One is the first part, Halachas Aleph through Zion, where the Rambam focuses on the mitzvah to know that which the Torah writes. To know, Yediyas HaTorah. And then the second part, from Ches through Yigimel, the Rambam focuses on the mitzvah of Hisaskus B'Torah. To demonstrate that I am Amola B'Torah. Amola B'Torah. Not necessarily Yediyas HaTorah, to know everything. For example, somebody who sits and learns Yoimam V'Layim. Yoimam V'Layim. Then, as soon as he's finished his day's work, you give him a b'china, he doesn't understand one word that he's saying. He doesn't remember anything that he learned. Nothing. At the time, he knew something. You know, he read the Shakla B'Tari. At night, he forgot the whole thing. Are you going to give him credit for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Of course he is. Yeah, correct? It's lasso b'divrei Torah. Correct. And the Rav is fond of quoting Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim asked, what's the definition of a lamdan? He said the word lamdan in Hebrew is to be equated to the phrase that we use on Yom Kippur describing HaKadosh Baruch Ki ata solchan liYisrael umachalon lishifte Yeshua. What is solchan liYisrael? What does solchan mean? What does it mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged in the act of being soleach. Machalon, he's engaged in the act of what? Of everything. That's what it is. What's a goslin? Goslin is not somebody who knows how to be out the pole. A goslin is a guy who goes in his fields. What's a lamdan? Same thing, says Rav Chaim. You don't measure a lamdan by how much Torah he's acquired. A lamdan is a person who sits and learns. That's all he is. He's a person that sits and learns. That's a lamdan. Therefore, if that's the case, if that's the case, that's why he said, when you come to the Olam HaEmes, one of the three questions they ask you is, they don't ask you, do you know the machlokes, the Rambam, the Ravid, as to whether you make a bracha on a zavar asura? Do you know that halacha? No. They ask you the machlokes, the tzoisim and the tzivis, whether a kain is ladi teva? Nobody asks you such questions. One question, the only question they ask, did you spend time learning? That's the only question that they ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in whether you acquired Yediyas HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know whether you're engaged in the mice of Talmud Torah. Kavata itim laTorah. Therefore, this particular case, when you're going to learn, that's part of the amala, the yigiyah. You go to a place which is what? You demonstrate that I'm involved in Torah. I'm going to a mokum Torah. I'm going to a yeshiva. They have a good back of cheer. So the halikah itself is part of amala, ameilut of yitzatzkus b'tayr. Therefore, all three examples which Tosfos and Rashi now give, it's not that shluchei mitzvah are putter because they're not being involved in a mitzvah. They are being involved in a mitzvah. Even as they are walking, they are being mikayim a mitzvah. That's why they granted the exemption. But stam hachana, stam preparation to do a mitzvah, which somehow can't be figured or factored in, that this is considered part of the mitzvah itself, under those circumstances, the ptur of basic mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, will not apply. Next, there's an incredible Rashbah, who says that Isaac b'mitzvah patim in mitzvah should not be interpreted the way it's literally interpreted. Please translate it and fall into my trap. What exactly? Translate Isaac b'mitzvah patim in mitzvah. Please, just translate the word Isaac b'mitzvah patim in mitzvah. What do you say? I know it. I'm involved in this mitzvah. I'm exempt from doing another mitzvah. What happens, Rabbi, if the second mitzvah opportunity is more pleasing to me? I think it's more significant. I'm more interested in doing it. I started doing the first one. Do I enjoy the right to put down mitzvah number one,
not having completed it,
and attend fully to mitzvah number two? So if you interpret the phrase Isaac for mitzvah, patam and mitzvah in its literal sense, the way most Rishonim do, what is your answer, Rabotai? Nothing wrong with it. I don't have to attend to another mitzvah. I don't have to. But if I want to attend to a mitzvah, no one can dictate and determine for me which mitzvah I want to do now. If I want to do that, if I want to, after I finish this mitzvah, if I want, I'll go back to this mitzvah. You can't force me to do this mitzvah this minute. Says the Rashba, you're not allowed to go to mitzvah number two. Why? And here is the lumbus of the Rashba. Since there is a ptur, you're exempt from doing it, it's no longer a mitzvah. It's a reshus. It's an option. And any time you're involved in a mitzvah, You cannot abandon a mitzvah to do a davar harishus. This is something that's optional. Since it's oisik v'mitzvah, it's pater min ha-mitzvah, the second mitzvah now becomes as if it was only a rishus. Therefore, the Rashba writes that once somebody starts mitzvah A, he or she is not permitted to abandon mitzvah A in order to perform mitzvah B. You must go ahead and perform mitzvah A, because mitzvah B becomes a reshus legabe mitzvah A, and as a result, you're never permitted to abandon a dvar mitzvah in order to fulfill a dvar reshus. Yeah.
What about the mishnah? You say you can't do the sukkah.
According to what? That's, when you're traveling, he doesn't agree with Rashi. But as you're traveling, that's correct. As you're traveling, sir.
I'm sure you carry the brachah.
No, I wouldn't say. I would say if you happen to be walking and there's a sukkah right there and it's on your way, fine. But to get off the road and for that moment stop the mitzvah, then you can't. Because if it's on the way, if it's right there, I'm going to eat anyhow. So he's not going to say, now I don't go into the sukkah. Yeah.
Correct. So what are most Rishonim say in regards to the other thing that the other mitzvah becomes a reshus? Do they agree with that?
No. They don't believe that the second mitzvah is to be categorized as a reshus. They believe that the second mitzvah is still a mitzvah. But I don't, it's a mitzvah which I don't have to do at this particular time because I'm involved in another mitzvah. But it doesn't mean that the second mitzvah has been suspended as a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. So therefore, it gives me the right to do it whenever I'm
ready. Say this mitzvah that I'm being osek in right now, that's not completed. It's okay to not complete it.
Correct.
And I may never get back to it.
That's correct. That is correct. Because I have a right to choose which of the two mitzvot that I want to observe. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, mitzvah al tachmitzen. That means you can. There's a minion already for mincha 2 o'clock. So what do you say? David, it's 5 o'clock.
If you never started, you can't.
No, but that I didn't have to start doing. That's telling me I should start doing the mitzvah when I have the opportunity to do so. Yeah. I'm a neutral.
In that case, there's a minion at 2 o'clock, and I'm about to join it, and there's some other mitzvah that comes along with the opportunity that I want to do instead.
Right. I didn't start doing the mitzvah. I didn't start davening. If I'm in the middle of if I already started the minion...
I would still say I could walk away?
Yes, because I haven't started the mitzvah yet.
I said I'll share with the minion.
Okay, so... let's operate that one. If you call Ashrei started, yes, you can't walk away at that minute.
According to the Rishon, Rashba would say yes.
No, the Rashba is beyond, it's just the opposite. Correct, Rashba would say no, all other Rishon would say yes. That's correct.
Going back to the thing of the one.
Yeah.
So it's only these three, it's supposed to be that you would add other categories on a
case-by-case basis. That's correct. It's not that these three are illustrating a principle, that the halicha is considered a mitzvah when you can interpret the halicha is part of the mitzvah. Then it's entitled to oisik b'mitzvah. But stam hachana for a mitzvah is not granted the exemption of oisik b'mitzvah.
How do all these, what's the fact that your shliach is supposed to
be
doing the mitzvah yourself? How does that play a role?
No, you are doing the mitzvah yourself. You know, he doesn't mean here, when I'm going to be mekabel my Rebbe, I'm not the shliach. He just means involved in doing the mitzvah, you know. You know, you can't be kind of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a shlichus. Right? You can't send somebody else to the mirror and you'll be the kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I know. When guys come to me, I tell them I'll be delighted. I'll be the Yisvula. I'll be the Yisachar. You be the Yisvula. You support me, I'll be delighted to do that. No problem.
So problematic, though, because, I mean, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, even given what the Rambam...
Correct.
You can't elevate the halicha above the...
Correct. That's why I started saying that it's difficult as to why Rashi and Tosis select that illustration in the first place. Yeah, I'll get back to this. Just give me one second. Why do I say that? Because there is a perennial debate as to what's considered more significant. Is Asiyat HaMitzvot more important? Right? Or is Talmud Torah more important? So we have Mamari Chazal that seem to conflict. One Mamari Chazal says, Loi HaMedrash Ikar, Ela HaMasa. That's the most important, performance of Mitzvah. What? Lumen HaMenach Vasa. The other thing, they say, G'dayra Talmud Torah, Sheshmula Kanen Kala Mitzvah. Talmud Torah is the greatest Mitzvah in the world. So which one is it? The way the Rambam and most of all Rishonim paskin, we paskin loy hamedrash ikar elo hamaaser, and therefore there is no exemption of oisik b'mitzvah patam in our mitzvah based on the fact that I'm engaged in Torah study, none whatsoever. And proof to it, which the Rambam cites, and he uses this as an aside to prove something else, is the story quoted in Masechus Brachos concerning Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara tells us, got up very early in the morning, before dawn, and started giving a shiur to his Talmidim. And the shiur was going on for a long time. Zman Kriya Shema was about to expire. What did Rabbi do? He stopped, he put his hands over her head, and he said Shema. Good. So the Ramban says that Yehuda HaNasi was not only studying, he was being Malami Torah Baradim, he was Malami Torah. And nonetheless, he didn't believe that his shiur, Talmud Torah, overrides the mitzvah Kriya Shema. In fact, the Ramban believes that he extracts another conclusion from that. That the Gemara says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokei Hashem Echad, Zuhi Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. That's the expression for the Gemara Brachah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So the Ramban derives from it that Midoraisa you don't have to say the first pasuk. Everything else is only with the Ramban. Because if it was Doraisa, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would have not just said that part. Would have said, so it's actually four machlokes. Only the first pasuk, like the Ramban, first parsha like Rashi, Tamid Rabbeinu, the first two parshiyot, and we pass like the Ramban, but all three parshiyot are Doraisa. But the Ramban concludes that the Ptur of Isaac for Mitzvah, Pata Menah Mitzvah, doesn't apply. Proof to the pudding is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Everyone seems to agree there, with only one exception to the rule. Somebody who's called Tairasai Umnasai. Tairasai Umnasai. It's difficult for me to explain what exactly that means. All I can tell you is that the Rambam said no such person exists in his generation. The Rambam said no person qualifies in his generation of a Tairasai Umnasai. According to some, it was an example of the Gemara, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who went into the cave for 13 years with his son. That's somebody who's Tairasai Umnasai. I don't know exactly how to even define it. Such a person, Isaac the Mitzvah, Chatham and Amitzvah applies, and the individual is exempt from Talmud Torah, from the performance of all mitzvahs. But everyone else disagrees, and it's a non-factor since the time of the Rambam. No one has ever said that it applies, so therefore it's difficult for me to explain why Rashi and Taisa cite this example, because it doesn't apply. Because we paskin, lo hamedrash ikar, elo hamaaser. So it can't be, you can't use that as an excuse to engage in Talmud Torah. Plus, there's a Mishnah in Tainus, which says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, lo haitzos hameis. If there is a person passing by your little shul, and if the Nasi dies, kol batei midrasho shebeir betalin. Every base medrash has to shut down. Proof, it's got to be that way. Talmud Torah is not Isaac for Mitzvah. But you have to stop, and it's new covered up, you have to go ahead and attend the Leviah ceremony. So it's difficult. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Why the Gemara quotes this as Talmud Torah? Not the Gemara. Why Rashi quotes it and Tosfos. Okay. Two more lines of the Gemara. Yeah.
Also,
putting in extra.
You know, for example, I've always wondered, now, you lose a parent. I mean, lose a parent, I call the Chesed Kaddish, I do nothing. Okay? I should have had a blessing. But why am I united? I don't call myself.
It happens to be that your case of Aninus is an excellent illustration of how we have decided to make a pshara between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi claims that the reason why an onen is exempt from all mitzvos, because all mitzvos are say, because it's Isaac from mitzvah, Chatham and Amitzvah.
Okay.
So now, according to your understanding, you're 100% right. Today an onen does one thing. He calls the rabbi or the chevra, and that's it. After that, he does absolutely nothing. For that, he's granted a 24-hour, 12-hour, 24-hour, maybe even more, exemption from mitzvahs. However, there's another opinion. Tosfos' opinion is that an onen is exempt not because it's oisik for mitzvah, patam and mitzvah, because psychologically, the halacha, yes, it means that the halacha has recognized that a person is angry with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment, and the halacha cannot demand and expect that you defer to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a moment of such intense anger. After the Kfura, the halacha expects you to start cooling off and to readjust. Our Pesach halacha is a split decision. For example, what about the halacha of Aninus on Shabbos? So Tosfos says there is Aninus on Shabbos. Why? Just because it's Shabbos doesn't mean you're not angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So according to Tosfos, someone dies 15 minutes before Shabbos, the individual is exempt from all mitzvahs the whole Shabbos. A whole Shabbos. Why? Because he's Isaac from mitzvah. He's Torah. He's angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't make Kiddush, doesn't have to daven. Absolutely nothing. For Shabbos, we pass in like Rashi. What's the exemption of Isaac from mitzvah? Of an Aninus, Pater of a mitzvah? Isaac from mitzvah. Shabbos, are you allowed to be Isaac from mitzvah? No. Therefore, Aninus is suspended on Shabbos and Yom. During the week, we pass it like Tosfos. So even though it was a 5-minute call, I don't know anybody going to the cemetery to dig the grave. That's what Chazal had in mind, that you'd be Isaac to mitzvah. You have to start stitching the takrichen. You have to go ahead and dig the grave. That takes hours. Nobody does that today. Nonetheless, during the week, we pass it like Tosfos, that it's the tirda of your mind, nothing to do with Isaac to mitzvah. So that's a funny case where our practice has taken a split decision between Rashi and Tosfos.
Because you could say also, you know, three cases, numerous times, anybody can have that. Sometimes you
really,
if you know somebody else
that they can share,
you don't necessarily
have to. Correct. That's another case. If it's Epshel Asus, Ayodeh, it's a good point. We'll cover that as well. Two more lines, that will conclude for tonight. At least the source of this entire halacha. Ask the Gemara in Ani Mili. How do I know that an Isaac from mitzvah is Patam and a mitzvah? How do I know that? Titana Rabbanan, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, drash, prat l'Isaac from mitzvah. When are you obligated to read the Shema? When you were sitting around in your house watching the Giant game. That's when you chayav to read the Shema. However, if you are Isaac from mitzvah, you don't have to read the Shema. U'velechtecha v'aderech, prat l'chasan. A chasan is exempt from kriya shema laila harishayna. Mikan amru hakoynes es habesula patur ve'es ho'almana chayiv. Somebody who is marrying a virgin is exempt from the mitzvah of kriya shema, but if you are marrying a widow, you are obligated for the mitzvah of kriya shema. Now, I just want to throw out one simple question, and I'll let you think about it. Let me show you, Rabbi Isai, that there was no Gzeres HaKasuf. No Gzeres HaKasuf. And you're in the middle of a mitzvah. Let's take the most exaggerated case. Okay? I can't do two mitzvahs at one time. I can't do two mitzvahs at one time. I can only do one. Without this puzzle, what would I say? What would I say? But I can't do both. It's Eshel Kain. I'm not, according to Tosfos, I hear your case. It's Eshel Kain Shneim. But the Ron said, even if it's Eshel Kain Shneim, let's assume it's Eshel Kain Shneim. Why don't we need a puppet to tell me Isaac permits a puppet on this? What else do you expect a human person to do? He can only do one of the two. Maybe this is proof to the pudding. Proof to the pudding. Correct, Paul. That's correct. But that's what the Xenus HaKosos is telling me. That Isaac permits, what does it mean? That you're not allowed to turn away to do other. That's what I'm telling you. You're doing mitzvah number one. Don't you dare put down mitzvah number one and start doing mitzvah number two. And what do I need this pasuk according to all other rishonim? What do I need this pasuk according to all other rishonim for? That it's what do I need it? Eshel Kain Shneim. What do I need it for?
Say you have different levels of mitzvah. You know, even if the mitzvah is somehow considered to be higher,
correct. Maybe I would be obligated to be nisha'er. Which mitzvah is more significant? For example, what happens if I'm doing a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Would anybody ever say that Isaac for mitzvah pachad manamis doesn't apply, and there is an opportunity to do a mitzvah d'oraisa? Does anybody ever say that Isaac for mitzvah, Pachad Menah mitzvah is not a factor for a mitzvah? No one has ever said that. For example, I'm reading the Megillah. Okay? And now there's an Ani who's passing by, and he's knocking on the door, and comes to shul and stuff, and if I don't give him the money right now, he's leaving. Would anybody ever say that I have to tell them I have to stop reading the Megillah? No one ever said that. Why? Because there's a Zeus HaKosov, Isaac for mitzvah, Pachad Menah mitzvah. But if there was no Zeus HaKosov, maybe Yisrael's right. I have to start making a hashara. I'm doing only Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. Mitzvah Stavra, the Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Should I now go ahead and stop a Mitzvah D'A in order to Mitzvah B? Mashmalam, no. Or you seek for Mitzvah, Pachar Minam Mitzvah under those circumstances. But according to Rashba, it works out like a jet. It's perfect. That's the Chidush of the Zeus HaKosov. Okay, we'll stop here and continue next Devar.